Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B.
A firewife is essentially the keeper of the castle. Although she is married to a firefighter, she also has married into the fire service. I wanted to pay tribute to the wives for all they do for their respective families 24/7, 365. When their spouse is away, that may sometimes go unnoticed or unrecognized. From caring of the kids, making sure meals are prepared, completing various day-to-day activities, management of the household, and sometimes having to perform dual roles. The wife of a firefighter plays a key component to the stability of families across the nation. Today's guests are Kim Smith, Courtney Wick, Hannah Howes, and Kimberly Beauvais. All the women mentioned are married to firefighters who work from small urban suburban municipalities to large metropolitan organizations. With that, I present the Student of the Game Fire Wives Special.
Hey, I'm Kim Smith, and I've been married to my husband for 20 years, and I've been a firewife for about 20 years.
Okay, and Courtney?
Let's see, I have been married for 13 years, sorry, I had to think about it, and a firewife for 6.
Okay, and Hannah?
Hi, I'm Hannah, and I've been married for 9 years, and I've been a firewife for 4 years.
Kim. And I'm Kim, and I've been married for 12 years and a firewife for 12 years.
All right. So I appreciate all of you wonderful wives for coming on and letting us know, meaning us, meaning the firefighters, what it's like behind the scenes when we're gone. A lot of stuff gets handled usually when we're at work, and usually it never fails that whenever we're on shift, something bad occurs, something breaks or something doesn't work. And that's usually how it always goes down. So I just want to get a perspective from the wives who do all the work behind the scenes. So with that being said, Kim Smith, can you let us know pretty much how you met your husband?
So we met when we were in high school. We had mutual friends introduce us. They kind of knew my past of being a little, like, I liked boys. Big time. And so they're like, oh, we know a girl, she'll like you. And yeah, good on them. They weren't wrong. So we met when we were 16, spring of our sophomore year of high school.
Okay. Courtney?
Let's see, I was 20 and he would have been 19, and we met at a summer job. We were both in college at different colleges, but we came back home and he just asked me to go to a lake with him to his parents' cottage. And I was like, oh, no, I don't know you that well to go out of town with you. But he came up to my college one night, and I guess that was that. And a little rough through college, but we made it through. And he went to and joined the Navy after college, and then decided he didn't want to. Well, he's still in the Navy. He was active for 12 years and then decided he wanted to be a firefighter. Actually, when I met him, his whole plan was to live in Findlay and be a firefighter. So the Navy was a, I don't want to say second choice, but I don't know, just all worked out and he did both, so.
Okay, all right, and Hannah?
Yeah, so my husband and I, we were involved in the same church circle our whole lives. So we knew of each other, but then we reconnected as 19-year-olds through mutual friends. People kept trying to set us up and finally went through with it.
All right. And Kim?
We met when we were older. So we were like 27 something. So he was already long ago a firefighter before I met him. We met online, you know, the new age. We met online. And so we've been together 12.
Yeah.
Oh, actually we've only been married 8 years. So I said that wrong in the beginning. We've
been married 8, but
together like together. 11 or 12 years. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
I even did mental math earlier, which apparently I did bad.
With that being said, Kim, I'm going to go back to you. What type of schedule does your husband work?
So they are on a California swing shift schedule. So like this week he'll work Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Yeah, they're
Same
not on the same
shift.
shift anymore. Yeah, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then after that third day, they get 4 days off. So it's we've done the 24/48s. I think this California is good and bad at the same time because you do get those solid 4 days, but when you're at a smaller station that overtime is rampant, you can easily get into a 72-hour situation that you just have to swing with and go with the flow at times.
Okay. I kind of heard of that schedule, but I'm not too familiar with it, so.
It took us a while because when we first got up here and we heard about it, we're like, how does that work out? Like, how do you somehow all the shifts, because we're only a three shift department. So somehow it works out. I still can't make sense of how it happens, but it's good. It's
Yeah,
decent. You get used to
yeah,
it.
exactly. Yeah. I do enjoy the 4 days also, and
Yes.
yeah, just kind of used to it. The whole area does the
Does
don't
American
they?
do it? Do they do it as well? Yeah.
So
okay, so both of your husbands work for the same department, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So when he goes on shift, is he on for 24 hours or
Yeah,
okay,
24s.
24 hours. Okay. So it's not a 48.
No.
Okay. All right. And Hannah?
Yeah, so my husband works at 24 on, 48 off, and then every 3 weeks he gets a Kelly day. So we get 5 days off in a row.
Okay. All right. And of course you.
He does the 24 on, 48 off, but no Kelly day. We just straight, which is nice for planning at least. Like I can look a year from now and be like, what day will he be working or off? So it's like you said, you get used to it. Whatever they're on, you just get used to it.
And I just want to say, we used to never do schedules. Like I might be jumping the gun, but I always stayed at home with our girls. So our schedule was like, well, when do they nap? When do they eat? That's our schedule. And now I'm like, all right, let's look at the year calendar. When can we fit things in? So it's very going from no schedule to like, let's check the schedule. It's like, oh, look at this life. Look at us. It's hard. But
Okay.
good
Courtney,
at the same time.
is it the same for you as well as far as planning things around that schedule?
Yeah, like I have an app on my phone that has, the days they work, so and our calendar of things, so I can kind of plan our life and kids' lives and
And
so many things now.
Hannah, I'm assuming the same for you as well.
Yes, that calendar app on my phone is probably one of my most used apps to be able to, because people ask me, can you guys do this? I'm like, I have no idea. I need to see if it's a green day or a blue day or a week.
Sense. No, that makes sense. Okay. With that being said, I'm gonna take all four of you back into time a little bit where your first child was born, a newborn, brand new baby, husband has to go to work, leaving you alone with your child. What was that experience like? And whoever wants to go first.
And maybe how many kids everybody has too.
Sure. Yes.
Well, we have three girls. We kind of space them out so we could be towards the end of diapers, if not completely finished. But we had our oldest when we lived in Myrtle Beach, and we had no one around us. It was we had no family. We had some friends, but not very close. So it was just us. And it worked out to where I was at the time working at a hospital. And so once I had her, I went to straight PRN. I was going in like once a month. And it was, I mean, you always hear about the adjustment, but I think when you throw in, you have no tribe that everybody likes to talk about, and it's just you, it's just a whole new, I don't know. it was just something that I wasn't, I thought I'd have all our family around. I thought they'd, you know, I'd have all my friends around, and it was really not the case. So it was kind of like just he and I and her until we came back to Ohio. So that was, I don't know. It was an adjustment for sure.
I'm sure it was challenging with just you two, because you, like you said, you had no family. I mean, yeah, he's part of a department, but he probably doesn't really know everybody there yet.
Yeah. Yeah. We were not there. So when he started at, Midway Fire Department in Pawleys Island, South Carolina.
Okay.
And they were running, I think, like 14 to a shift between the three different stations. So it was, I mean, he had like his shift that he was on, that he had, you know, some that he was hanging out with at times, but we just didn't get together like we do now with our people. So yeah, you know, we would go to some functions with the guys. And so we would just tote her along, and that happened every now and then, but it just wasn't like a, hey, what's the shift doing today? So it really was just our little nucleus of, all right, here we are again. So shopped a lot back then.
For me.
I was kind of in the same boat. My husband, we had all three kids while he was in the Navy. So I can't really, you know, it's kind of the same thing, I guess, mm-hmm. have a group of people, but my family wasn't around. We lived in Virginia and Florida, and we weren't close, so it was just us two. And I don't like asking for too much help. I kind of,
yeah, no,
you know, I just, we got through it, and it was difficult with the first one mm-hmm. when he left for work every day, but he was home every day. So, you know, that was a different schedule. He wasn't gone the whole 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that at that time, but.
Okay.
So once we moved back here, you know, we had the three kids and our families were close. So mm-hmm. it was nicer.
Yeah. Okay. Hannah.
Yeah, so our oldest was 4 and a half when he started. So daytime was not too bad. We would do lots of little phone calls throughout the day as he could take them until the bells went off. And we were like, all right, see ya. but then it slowly became normal. I think the hardest transition was nighttime for us, was just like, you know, what's that noise? Feeling like a little, I don't know, vulnerable out here. But yeah, no, it eventually, after, you know, a year or so, it becomes just the norm. And we have a great community. I'm blessed. I've got all my family pretty much close by to help if we need, and we have great neighbors on either side of us. So I've not had to use them for any emergencies yet, but I know if I needed to, they would be there in an instant. Mm-hmm.
And we only have one, and we are only having one. And so he used 6 weeks of his paternity leave when we had our daughter, which was good. I had a lot of complications afterwards, so it was needed. But so he was home the first 6 weeks, and then he transitioned back after that. So, but it like we had already been together for so long and used to that, like gone 24 hours. I have a sister, and his parents live nearby, so they were there if you ever need them, but they're not like next door, they're like 30 minutes away, so not too close, but there if you need it. My sister works nearby, so she would stop over at lunchtime, so that was nice.
I'm just amazed at the 6 weeks paternity leave. Dang.
I know.
Well he had been a firefighter for 12 or 13 years at the same department by the time we had a kid.
Yeah.
So he has thousands of sick hours available to use, and we knew we were only having one. And he's like, okay, as long as I don't dip too far under like 3,000 hours or something like that, I'll take my 6 weeks off. So you took, he took six weeks off.
Because originally I was only going to do like 2 weeks. And I have to credit my captain at the time, because he was like, hold on. He's like, you're only having one, right? I was like, that's correct. He was like, you never get that time back. He's mm-hmm. like, they're little they're only little for this long. So he was like, take at least 6 weeks. He's like, I'm telling you, it's well worth it. Take a break. This place will always be here. And I mm-hmm. took his advice and I took 6 weeks.
That's amazing.
I need to give my husband's department credit, because so we had our first, obviously he didn't work for fire, but then so we have three total, We have a 2-year-old. So 2 years ago, he got 6 weeks paternity leave that was completely covered. He didn't have to use any time or anything. They just give you 6 weeks. And then when I had my last one this June, they gave us 12 weeks.
Oh, that's awesome.
I know. We were blown away.
Wow. That's
amazing, Hannah.
I know. Yeah. I'm really thankful. We don't take it for granted.
Oh, very nice.
What's it like to have that support?
It's crazy.
Sorry, that was a negative. Sorry.
No, it's fine. No, I mean,
work that one out.
No. They, I don't need to do it because there are certain departments that they could use some help. You know, like their policies or procedures or guidelines are behind the times, and you know, I think now more and more departments are starting to see like family's important and they're trying to get that balance of the work life going on. So no, I mean, there's nothing negative about it. And there are some departments out there where guys are like, hey, I can only take this much and it is what it is, which is, I mean, it's terrible.
Which we were kind of joking the other day. Cause I was like, you know, when we had our first, he did have that time that he came back to Ohio to test, but he had maybe like a week off at home and then back to Ohio. And then we had our second one. He took maybe two shifts off. And then our third one, he's like, are you good? I'll take one. It's okay. You got it under control now. But it was just kind of, he's also not like, you know, again, we were talking about it. Like, and I think her husband's the same way. They just, they don't want to have other people, because we are a smaller station, they don't want to have other people have to cover them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they are very picky about how
days
they take off. So and
what things they take off.
Yeah.
So if they take a day off, someone has to cover for them. Like they have to get like a higher backer type thing.
So we carry 7 on shift, 6 is the minimum.
That is difficult.
So when we have, you know, that 6-person call off, overtime is up right away. So it's it's a little
a lot harder.
It's harder, yeah. We're a little envious of bigger departments.
Yeah, because I was gonna say, I'd imagine like Hannah's husband, he's with Columbus, and so you know Columbus is large. So whenever you have guys that work for municipalities that are smaller, I guarantee you Mandos, we call them Mandos, that's probably very prominent in your two situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's it would be nice to know that. And I know I've had this discussion with my husband, like when he's supposed to be off, it would be nice to know that he could come home. Now, I will say a lot of the times some of the guys try to be considerate and like, hey, my kid's sick, I got to take the day off tomorrow. So I'm always like, if I know ahead of time, I have a little bit of a better attitude about it. But it's those, hey, somebody called in at 6:30. It's like, oh, okay. So it's more of those situations where it's like, again, you just learn to accept it, but it's kind of like,
and then if nobody does cover it, it's the lowest man that gets the force. So same guy all the time on each shift. So they try to hurt you sometimes, I feel like.
Well, and that's he'll be like, oh, I don't want someone got forced last time. I'll take it so he doesn't get forced again. Mm-hmm. So
Okay.
That's
a lot harder. For him, there's 6 stations, 3 shifts. So, and like they all have, now you guys all have 5, right? And they're allowed to go down to 3?
It depends, like
shift change. Yeah. But so usually like he'll look at it and be like, oh, there's 5 people on, I can take off type thing. Mm-hmm. Or, and I know this is one of your questions later, but like for sick, like if our daughter is sick, he usually is the one that will call out of work compared to me. Because I work like a office, like an 8-to-5 type job. And so like, if I have to miss a day of work, it's a lot harder than if he has to miss one.
Yes.
So in our household, he'll be the one that usually calls out.
Hannah, you're in your family situation when it comes to if your child's sick, is it you that's calling out or is it your husband?
So I'm blessed. I'm a stay-at-home mom and my job, I work from home. So it's me. Now, if I'm sick, Aaron is with, I feel bad. So we have a 35 station department and there's three shifts on each one. So, I mean, when he calls off, he calls off. Yeah, we don't have that burden, which I feel guilty for. But yeah, so
there's no reason to feel that. That's why I kind of wanted to get like, and it's the perfect situation because your husband works for a large municipality and Kim and Courtney's, they work for a smaller agency. And that's how the fire departments across this country are. They're not always big. Some of them are small, one station, 35 stations, it doesn't matter. But it's just all perspective on like, I want. And I'm not trying to say husbands or significant others don't realize the stuff that you all have to deal with, but I just kind of wanted to shed some light on it. So with that being said, my next question I want to pull up is, so you all know pretty much what the job entails, but when it comes to missing milestones in your family's, in his career, how does that feel? Was that an adjustment? Like working holidays, missing birthdays, anniversaries, things like that.
I think for us, because he was already at a station before we had kids, it was just kind of like it was an adjustment, but it was also like, okay, this is a territory. Like, I mean, when he started at Midway, I was working at the hospital, and so I think there was one Christmas we both worked Christmas Day, and so it was just kind of like it is what it is. And then as our oldest came along and got older, and then we added her sisters in. I think by that point it was just like they know dad's at work. I mean, it is frustrating, and not frustrating, but it's, I was gonna say sucks, but I don't think that
You're
is
good.
important. I
It's fine.
mean, yeah, it does stink when they work the holidays, but I think again, it's just one of those things that our girls just now. It just is what it is. Like we'll try to go to the station if he's working. We do live about what, 7-ish minutes from the station, so it's very easy for us to swing in and see them. So that has helped. And like with some of the, as our kids got older and got into sports, because we live in the township, in the school district, he's able to leave the station and come to the school. So a lot of soccer games with our oldest, he was able to bring a truck to the fields and just watch from there. So it's, I don't know, I think it's just because it's what they've always known. They
Yes.
haven't known any different. It's just, oh, dad's working.
Yep.
Okay, well, we'll swing by if we can, and if not, we'll call him.
Yeah,
So.
same for us. I think the kids just kind of get used to it. And even mine are younger than hers, but so on Christmas morning, when Santa comes up, he does have to work. They start at 7 a.m. So sometimes whoever worked Christmas Eve will stay over a little longer on Christmas Day. So dad gets to have Christmas morning for an hour or two, watch them open the presents, and then he'll go into work. So that they're nice and cover each other that way for Christmas Day or something. And my kids today, like my husband was gone all week on a Navy training. And he got back last night and had to go into work this morning. And they're like, oh, dad's home? Well, no, he's at work. But, and they're just like, okay, they just, I don't know.
It just gets to be the life.
Yeah.
It's
And
just
they
the
miss him, of
life.
course, but they understand too, I guess, as they get older, he goes to work and.
Okay. Hannah?
Yeah, pretty much the same. The kids just know it, and we try and stop by the station if it's a big holiday. But if we, obviously we know if he's going to miss Christmas or something big, so we just try and celebrate it another day. Just kind of alter our plans. And with the way, the three units works is usually we know if he works at Christmas, we've got 2 years that he won't work Christmas. So, just trying to make the most of the years that he doesn't have to work on Christmas.
Makes sense.
And to, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead, Kim.
I was just going to say to piggyback what Hannah was saying about, if you know in advance they're going to, like, I think, well, we were supposed to have Christmas off this year, and then, you know, stuff happened. So now he's working Christmas. But I think someone said it so well that within this lifestyle, yes, it's a holiday on a certain day, but we kind of get to make our own holidays because, I mean, it's just a day. It's just a date mm-hmm. on a calendar. You can still have all the special stuff there. You just celebrate it a different day. So I think, like, yeah, to go along with what Hannah said, you just make it the, like, day before if you have to. Mm-hmm. Or we woke up on Christmas on at 5 o'clock in the morning and had Christmas then before he went in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you just do what you do, I guess.
You learn to be flexible.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, that's what, like, last year he actually worked on Christmas. And so that's what we did is we did it on the Christmas Eve. We just kind of treated that like our Christmas holiday. And so, like, usually we'll see my sister on Christmas Eve and then we spend Christmas Day. And so last year we were like, hey, are you doing anything the day before Christmas Eve? And we, like, kind of just made it. And then on Christmas Day, we're like, let's go to the movie. So my daughter and I, we went to see Wish in the movie theater and, like, just did our own little thing. So yeah, you just make it. My mom was a nurse too, so I was used to, like, oh, okay, like, Christmas or Thanksgiving they're gonna work, and you just do it. So yeah, you just get used to it.
Are any of your husbands, do they work more than one job? Because firemen particularly always have a side hustle or another job. So whoever wants to go first on that, and how do you adjust to that and their fire schedule?
So my husband, he has, well, when he was at Midway, he worked a little construction side gig. And since it was just us and Riley, it just really wasn't any different. It was just like, oh, okay, you're gone for this amount of hours. When we moved up to Ohio, he started teaching at Nationwide Children's for ACLS recertifications. I think he's been involved with PALS as well, but, yeah, so now he teaches at one of our hospitals here in Lima, and it kind of, like, this week it was kind of a dual teaching week. He had to teach on Monday and then he had to teach on Friday, which I think both days, because we've been busy in life, he's like, oh, by the way, I'm teaching these days. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So sometimes it is kind of frustrating because it's like, I just want you to be home. And I know that there are days he just wants to be home. He just wants to relax. And it is frustrating that they do have to sometimes have that side job because it's like, they do so much.
The money's not there.
Work, and it's just right. Not.
Yes.
I mean, I know Columbus is there. Y'all are paying pretty well right now over there. Like, we hear about all the laterals going on and we're like, dang, how much are you sure you don't want to go back to Columbus? Like, holy moly, their pay schedule, dang. But we also know Columbus is busier. So yeah. It's give true, and take with that.
True. Yeah, they don't have, some days are worse than others here too, but the not, calls, not but, as, but probably nothing like Columbus.
No.
So. My husband's second job is just the Navy Reserve. So, you know, he technically does virtual drill a lot. Like, instead of the 1 week in a month, you know, he used to have to go to Detroit 1 week in a month and then, like, do 2 years or 2 weeks of training, like, somewhere. But now it's a lot of virtual things. But pretty much he's just gone for trainings and I don't know, just like this was a week of training this past week. And I don't know, he'll do Navy funerals.
Okay.
So he'll do funeral honors and, you know, drive around the state for that, for some of them. And other than that, he's home quite a bit, but we're just so busy with life. It doesn't seem like it sometimes.
Yeah. Hannah.
Yeah, my husband, on his off days, he works for a private roofing company, so he's a project manager for them and does sales with them. So he basically, his 2 days off, he's doing meetings and appointments, but it's nice because he works from home with that, so we can kind of make it work for us. I mean, I am the default parent, so I have the kids all the time, and then when he and I can share the duties, we share them, and I get away when I can. And, but it, you know, it helps. Thank God for calendars on our phones, because I don't know how people did it before, because he, you know, he puts all of his appointments in there. And then, you know, I get an alert, because sometimes it can be the day before that he'll put an alert in for an appointment. And so I just kind of make it work. And yeah, it's teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work.
And Danny used to work a consistent part-time job when Aubrey was first born. Like, he would work always the day he got off, he would work. And so he really only had one day off a week. And then the pandemic hit, and also our daughter didn't sleep at daycare. And so I was like, something has to change. So he stopped working at that. And so now you've just started like a second kind of job, like the training kind of. It's a couple days here and there once in a while. But for the most part, I'm pretty lucky that we're like, at this phase in life, I'm too busy. And so I need you to take, which he happily does. He does all of our cooking, or most of our cooking, cleaning. So I'm pretty lucky. Yeah. We both cook, but he'll do most of it. But he does all of our cleaning, our laundry. So I'm pretty lucky.
I give my husband a hard time, because he'll cook these elaborate meals when it's his day to cook at the firehouse. Like, he'll send me pictures. Oh. Like, that was amazing. But as soon as he gets home, it's like he doesn't even know how to boil an egg.
It's kind of opposite here, because I have like my what I know to make, and I do it pretty well. But he's like, oh, we have that all the time. And so he'll be like, what's on Instagram? What's on TikTok? Let's look at all these. And he'll do the same thing. He'll be like, oh, I made this dessert for the guys, and it's so elaborate. And I'm like, where's our dessert?
Like, and the meals are made. He'd show him, like, you never do this at home.
It's impressive. But he does do a lot of our cooking here too, just because I'm not inventive enough, I guess. I'm not going to complain.
Oh, I'm sure I'm gonna get some slack for opening the box. A serious question though. You all know what your husbands do for a living, but is there a point, or has there been a point where you hear an incident, or you see something on the news, or you just have that notion or that thought, like, he pops into your head? Do you all kind of think of the dangers of the jobs and realize like the potential risks?
I think for me, when I think the first realization I had of like, oh, okay, you could go to work and not come home, was strangely enough on 9/11. Like, I mean, I just wasn't part of the fire world prior to meeting him. And then when 9/11 happened and we were watching it, it was like, He's known what he's wanted to do his whole life. So I knew when we started to date that he wanted to be a firefighter. And so when I was watching that and the pings started going off for everyone that was fallen, he's like, it kind of hit like, oh, that's what we're going into. And we, I think the more that you hear about the risk of cancer with the job, I think that has kind of always stayed in the back of my mind. We just recently lost our FPO about a year and a half ago, fire prevention, is he? Yeah. Fire prevention officer. And they eventually linked back what happened. They were able to link it to line of duty. But he was our first fire loss in our time frame. And so it was, I think when you get to see the struggle with his wife going through what she went through, and then realizing that this is, and I think some people don't realize this, like, this is not just some person that he works with. This is his brother. This is a guy who's our children have known since we started. And so I think walking through that, it's like, that really hit, like, oh, this is the possibility. Mm-hmm. If it's not a fire that is taking him, which he's always like, just cremate me, because I'm a burn up anyway. So I'm like, you're so Morbid. But I think now, especially with the cancer risk and seeing what our fellow firefighter's wife has gone through, I think that has hit really the most. It's like it doesn't have to be an accident on the way to a scene. It doesn't have to be you got caught in a building and couldn't get out. It could just be the exposure to all the carcinogens and the forever chemicals, and it's like that could be what takes him. So I know our station's pretty good about screening and making sure, you know, the blood levels are good and our blood work. But I think for me, it's the what comes next. If it's not a fire and it's not an accident, it could very well be this. And we talk very openly about death in our family because of the job. And so I think, I don't want to say I don't think you can ever be prepared, but just the knowledge that it could be that, I think, I don't know. We try not to think about it. We try not to stress over it, but it's always there.
Right.
It's always in the back of your head.
Right.
Yeah. I would say I thought of, like, I used to worry a whole lot more. Not that I don't worry now, but you know, I had a lot more time to just sit and think and about all the things that could happen. And now with the kids being so busy, I don't want to say I don't think about it, but you know, you don't think about it as often. And our guys do a lot more medic calls than anything. not that something could still happen there too, but you know, and they do work right by the refinery, so that is another big risk.
Yeah, we have a refinery, and is it still a chemical plant? That's what I keep calling it.
A bunch of things over there.
Yeah, big industry. We have big industry in our area. And my husband's always like, we're like one gas explosion away or one oil leak away from chaos. And it's like, oh, good to know. Awesome.
Hannah?
When he first started and I had a 4.5-year-old at home, I remember every night I would say, okay, what truck are you on? Cause they switch trucks depending on, the shift and stuff. And so I would, I'm sure you guys use it, but Pulse Point, where you can see like the runs and everything like that. Yeah. And so I would, okay.
It all depends on the city. All townships or cities use Pulse Point, but a lot of the bigger departments do.
Do you guys use it?
No.
Oh. So anyway, I would check Pulse Point like every night when he was gone. I would, did he go on any runs? Did he go on any runs? And how long was it? And, oh my gosh, he's on a fire. I would just fuel that anxiety, right? And now the only time I check it is when I get up in the morning to see how many runs he had throughout the night to see if he's legit tired or if he's just
man, that's wow. Talking about weaponizing an app.
No, but you get busy and you get used to it, so the fear goes away a little bit. It's always in the back of your mind, especially what Kim said with I'm much more concerned about the cancer than I am about him having an accident. Even though that's a very real, possibility, but, I think it gets suppressed and you forget about it. And then like a really bad call comes out or something happens and you're like, the fear comes back. And then after a few weeks, you forget about it. So it's just the game you play, for the entirety of their career.
I think it's so easy to just get caught up and to let that fear kind of lead your life. And if you're in that constant state of, oh my gosh, what's going to happen today? Like what could happen? It's like, it's just not healthy. Mm-hmm. Like it's not healthy to live that way. And you have to, like he made the comment to me one day years ago. He's like, we do train for this. Like you realize that.
They have all this training. You hope that they're prepared, but
yeah. So it's like you just have to lean into they're not hopefully going to enter a situation where they can't get their way out of. And if they enter a situation, you have to trust that they're gonna lean back on what they do day in and day out. So
fall back to the level of the training. Yeah.
Yeah,
Danny always says he's a glorified janitor, but that's what I just said. I'm like, okay, Danny's at the station sitting there doing whatever. And yeah, you just have to suppress it. And then like you said, Hannah, like something will come up, like there'll be an accident or something. And then it's like, oh yeah. Like, and then you're like, okay, like he's just at the station. So you just kind of like, yeah, you just keep suppressing it over and over again.
But there's a, for us wives, at least, I think it's important that the guys are trained and, you know, they have, they rehearse these things. They're prepared for these things. But as wives at home, you know, there's a Brene Brown quote that says, don't dress rehearse tragedy. And it's so true. It's like, you know, you think you can rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse it in your head, and you're going to know how to handle it when it comes, but you really aren't. You can't prepare mentally for how you're going to react or what you're going to do when that moment, if it ever comes. So just don't put your adrenaline and your heart and your mind through it if you don't have to.
100%.
That's all for sure. With that being said, my next question or topic, is there a strain that happens on a marriage due to this job? I'm sure there is with every occupant or occupation out there, but as far as being married to a firefighter, have any of you guys, and you don't need to go like deep personal, but have any of you dealt with the stress of the job? Because for me, a good firefighter is going to want to go do outside training, which means he's going to go away for a couple days to a week to get better at his job. Because that way, the more we're prepared and better for our job, the better we are for the community and for ourselves. So if anybody has a take on that.
I think I know for us, it's just the moments of, because our station's kind of choosy about what trainings they go on. So if it's not specific ones that they always send people to, they're not big on, it's a thing. So we don't do a ton of extra training. In the scope of what we is the norm. But I think what happens because of how he is, you know, I always kind of joke when, you know, like, oh, a wedding, there was a summer of weddings that I had, and he worked every wedding. one was like, he did trade time for somebody. Another was like, well, if it's my day to work, it's my day to work, and I can't take off, because then that means somebody else has to give up what they're doing for the day to cover my spot. And that's not fair to them. He is very big on, he likes to say he was brought up under like the old school mentality. This is the day you work, and so you go into work. And unless someone is sick or dying, you don't miss work. And that's just how he has always been. And that, I admire that about him. But in the same breath, it's also like, I haven't seen you. And I really need you to not help this person out. I need you to be with us. Mm-hmm. Because life, like this week, it was just with him working, and I was subbing at our local career center school, and then with him teaching, like I personally have felt so distance. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we're not, but it's just because of the schedule. And so when the schedule gets jumbled like that, and then you're running, you know, kids to volleyball, and then practice, and it's I think if anything, you just, when you're not connecting, it is felt deep. And so I think for me, that's just my frustration with the job, is because of the schedule, and then you add in the busyness of life, and then you add in kids. It's like, I text him the other day and I go, I need a date night with you. I don't know, maybe we could shoot for like the end of October, but I need something. But we're also kind of the same way as you. Like, we're just not, I don't like to ask for help. I don't like to, when our kids were little, I didn't want to have to pay, that was because I'm cheap. I didn't want to have to pay a babysitter. So when we did do something, it was like, hey, grandparents, mm-hmm. this is like, we haven't like done anything in like months. Could we have like a weekend? And so that was kind of how we would do it when the girls were little. Now that they're older, it's kind of like, huh, when did we last have a date? I can't remember. And so I think that is where the frustration of the job sets into play, is when he's working 24 hours, especially if it's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule. And then we throw in a, well, somebody got forced the other day, so I'm going to work this Saturday for him. It's like, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. See you when you get home, like whenever you get home.
Right.
That's really tough.
Yeah. My husband is good about asking if it's okay if he does this, or, you know, if he works mm-hmm. another day, or if he does, you know, the Navy funerals or any kind of training. Sometimes he doesn't ask me, but and he just does it. But, you know, he's usually pretty good about that. And, you know, when we first started dating, we didn't live together. So I feel like we've always had I don't want to say distance, but, mm-hmm. you know, we've learned to communicate and stay close, just talking on the phone or texting or whatever. And I think that's kind of just been our normal life mm-hmm. and not always being right together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since I don't work when he's home during the day and the kids are at school, you know, we have time to talk and catch up, and, you know, we'll go out to lunch sometimes, and, you know, just instead of taking date nights and stuff, and that's when we
day dates.
Yeah,
day dates.
Right.
He's friend zoned. That's a day date.
No, I think we're good. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, just as long as we talk.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's so important, is like talking and communicating and keeping that line of, you know, not becoming ships in the night that just pass between, you know, with the shift, being on shift for 24 hours, coming home, working straight, going straight to, you know, his side job, or if he's got a doctor's appointment. And I think the part where it's hardest on the marriage is it's more me than it is him, because I get into the martyrdom where I'm like, I have been home with these kids for 24 hours. I homeschool. I've got my own job. And now you're going to do your other job. And I have to, you know, check my mindset and say, he's not doing, like, I'll get in my head and I'll say, he's just trying to stay away from us. He doesn't even like to be here. And that's not true at all. You know, he's in his head, he's thinking, I want to be home, but I'm providing for my family. And wow, is he providing? So it's just, you just have to, you know, maybe write it down. Maybe I need to write it on my refrigerator so that I can, you know, have it right there in front of my face. But it can become very easy as a fire wife to become a martyr in that situation, because it's hard. It's hard, but they're not doing it to upset us. And they're, you know, it's just how the job is.
Yeah. I think everything, I'll sometimes give him like, Aubrey has off of school Tuesday. And he's like, I have this podcast I have to do. And I was like, well, I have to work, and that brings money home. You have to figure it out.
Thanks for putting me on the spot. Jeez.
So I'll sometimes go, because like I said, like, he is the default. If Aubrey's sick or something, like, he'll be the one that will take off or do whatever. Cause I work a full, like, a 40 hour work week. So
you work more than 40 hours. That's a lot.
I saw that. You work more.
Oh yeah. So I'm pretty busy, but like I said, he luckily picks up, but I did have to give him a hard time. Like, put these days in your calendar. If you are at work, I will figure it out. If you are not, you are going to be responsible for Aubrey.
Yes. Yes.
So we had that conversation, and he put them in his calendar, so now he knows.
Yes.
Well, and I think too, couldn't you just chalk that up to like male brain versus female brain, where we just kind of have that.
That is a thing.
And I am very much like type A, very much a planner, very much even like, for this podcast, it's like, should we test that we can both be on the microphone at the same time? He's like, it's fine. But I was like, are you sure?
Yes.
So I'm very much of a planner in our family.
You know, the phrase opposites attract. We are definitely opposite. So, yes.
Very much opposite.
Hannah actually mentioned something that sparks this next topic or question. Do you all allow your spouse, and also for you as well, is there a method of allowing them to decompress? Because, you know, sometimes with the job, like, if whether you run a bad call or you're having political issues at our fire department. You know, that is a thing where like leadership may be not the greatest, or coworkers that aren't into the job, and vice versa. Like you guys or you gals are home and you're taking care of business, and it's like, I need time for myself. Like, I understand you're at work, but you're here now. So do you all have a method for that?
So I used to kind of not understand that as well. When he first started at his current station, because we had, you know, our oldest was a little older, and I'm like, dude, just like be with us. Like, you've been gone all day and all night, and like, we just want to see you. And, but now like, I get it now. So my husband is captain on his shift, and he's also the union president. So he's dealing with a lot of the political stuff, the mental stuff of the shift, of the department. And so there are some days he's good about getting home and just being like, okay, you know, what needs done? Do we need to do this? Do we need to do this? And there's just other days he's like, let me just get in my mindset. And it's getting a little easier to recognize, like when I try to talk to him and he's like, the focus is not there. It's like, okay, you do your stuff, and I will just let you, when you're ready, then come around. But it took a while to get there. It took a long time for me to get there, because as the default parent, it's like, like Hannah said, like I've been dealing with the kids, and I've been dealing with the lists, and I've been dealing with this, and I could just use a little bit of help. And it is very easy to get stuck in that mindset, but it's also not healthy for your marriage to be in. I mean, I think it's okay to have those moments, like, and maybe he's not even realizing it, like,
right,
it's just not how he's thinking in the moment. But I think sometimes if we let ourselves stay that martyr, like Hannah said, it's like, it's just, it's not really good for your marriage. I don't think it would be.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I try not to get too mad if he comes home and then he just wants to tell me all about his day. But I'm trying to get all the kids ready for school, and he's just standing there. I'm like, you know, he just wants to talk and, you know, decompress with me sometimes. And I'm like, well, I got to get all this done, like get the kids off of school and everything first. And then sometimes I'll just leave the house and let him just chill on his own and, you know, go do some things, get some things done, and let him do whatever he wants to do. And, you know, I don't know, sometimes it is a little frustrating, but other times I do have to realize, you know, work is stressful, and he needs to do what he wants to do when he's home.
And they don't have a 20-30 minute drive. It's 5 minutes down the road and boom, home.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Thankfully. So my husband has a 40-minute drive home. So he gets to kind of mentally decompress. And then he has a coworker that works at the same department, but a different station on the same shift. So, and they went through the academy together. They're brothers. And so they always call each other on the way home. So they'll talk through what the, you know, shift was like, any crazy runs that they had. So, 'cause I'm always available to talk to him, but like, I can't relate. So there's a lot of things that, you know, I could, you know, can I pray for you? What can I do to help you, you know, go through this? But I'm not going to be able to do that for him the way that a fellow firefighter is going to be able to do that for him. So I'm so thankful that they've been doing that every day since the academy. That they're on shift. And a lot of times, you know, the two paternity leaves for him that he's been on, they still call on paternity leaves. And so I think just supporting that friendship, supporting those kinds of lines of communication is important. But I pretty much in my head, and if my husband listens to this, he'll be like, but I do try to, I basically know that if it's a day he's coming off shift, so he gets off at 8 a.m., I don't count on him till about noon. Like, I just basically write him off, let him do his own thing, unless it's like a special circumstance. I just let him do what he needs to do, take a nap, take a shower, go do something out of the house, whatever. So that helps us. It's not always that way, but that's what we found works for us.
Danny has a 30-minute drive home. I don't know that you come home need to be compressed too much? I don't know.
I will say, like, coming, because I am a firefighter or fire person. I don't want to say fire. Anyways, whatever. I do this job. So I will say, like, doing some research and, like, reading things about decompressing and stress, like, I'll realize maybe I was short with her or I didn't say anything. And it was because that's, like, I didn't realize I was doing it, but I was decompressing in a way because of dealing with whatever stress may come. So I think it is a very important thing for couples to have with each other, because sometimes you do need that time to do whatever, get that frustration out, make that phone call. And I will agree with Hannah that, like, I don't tell my wife everything with this job. I tell her certain things, but I'll call a few buddies of mine that are on the job that can relate. And it's just, it's better. I'm not saying I don't talk to her, because it is good to talk to your spouse, but it's also better and good for you if you can find somebody that can relate. Mm-hmm. Because, like, there are certain things she'll tell me about her job and I'm processing it. And my mind's like, there's a bunch of question marks and dot, dot, dot.
Or so, like, why, like, didn't you say that?
I don't know what I'm supposed to say with this, but I mean, you definitely have to find that balance. But I think it's important for spouses to realize, like, it is a thing. It really is. Because if you go back and look at, like, damn, I was short with Kim today, or I was an ass. It was because, like, I had to let go or decompress that.
Or, like, the times, like, it hasn't happened lately, but there'd be sometimes I'd be like, I was like, you're being mean to me and you've said nothing nice to me. And he's just in that, like, mentality of, like, being at work, like, joking. But I was like, you can say something nice, like, you don't have to be nice mean to me, you know, like, it's just like, hey, I've been around, and you do have a female at your station now, but before it's like just all, you know, all guys, and it's like, you have to be a little kinder to me.
So pretty much I've been said, hey, you're not at the firehouse today, because, and that's the thing, like, you can get, it's very easy to get caught in that, because, you know, we are, I mean, I'm sure most of the spouses know, like, we're rough with each other with how we talk, but it's out of love. And our love, which y'all would be like, that's some weird love, but firemen are very abrasive. So when I come home and she says something and I, like, immediately fire back with, like, not a rude response, but,
and,
like,
we're different personalities.
Yeah, like, I'm joking, but to her it's like I'm being mean, but it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I am joking, but she doesn't get it because I still think I'm at the firehouse.
Right. Well, and I think too, to go with the decompression, because we are, he doesn't think it needs to happen. I feel led to, like, help him carry the load, help him carry the mental load. So I want him to talk to me. I want him to, like, tell me what's going on. And for, well, within the recently, we'll say, I get a little aggressive because there's the political stuff. It's just there. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating to deal with, especially when, okay, now I'm going to go that. Anyways, it's just hard to deal with. So my instinct is to, yeah, let's do this. And I get very irate. And he's like, I just need you to listen.
Yeah.
I don't need you to, like, take up arms and go to battle for me. I just need you to listen. And it's like, okay, so that's more of, like, a me thing, where, because he made the comment, he's like, I'm not going to tell you anything about the station anymore if you don't stop responding this way. And I'm like, okay, so that was a mental check for me, because I thought that's what I needed to do. Like, let's get mad, let's storm the castle. And it's not, he just wanted to be able to talk. And I think what's good about our husband's relationship is they are very close, mm-hmm. and they are, that text thread, is going, like what Hannah was saying, like, they are very big into leaning into each other with thoughts. And I mentioned to Courtney one time about how good her husband is for my husband, because they respect each other so well that they can disagree, but it doesn't become a thing. It's, they try to like kind of counter each other, and they're, iron sharpens iron, and that is very much what these two men do for each other. And yeah, I don't know, I kind of, I like our husbands, they're fun.
Unfortunately, it's a lot about politics anymore that they come home and decompress about. You know, it's not about the calls as much. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, there's that. But
yeah.
And I don't like to hear about all the bad calls. And he tells me most things, but you know, I don't want to hear too much either. And
right.
Well, that's what Danny had a call, like the shooting, and he FaceTimed Aubrey in the morning before she went to school, and she's like, "I'm going to tell my friend, my teacher, that someone got shot." And I was like, "Wait, let's greenlight before," like, because I was like, "I can see her saying something about her dad." I was like, "Wait a minute, let's talk about this before you go off the school."
Yeah, like, you know, you have social services ringing the doorbell, like, we're going to investigate something.
I was like, "Oh no!" So that's been interesting. And she's gotten older, and like, he'll tell me something like, "Now we're like, okay, how are we going to do this?"
Yeah, no, for sure. Okay. With that being said, my last question for you all, or however you want to look at it, is what advice would you give to a young couple or a significant other that's looking to enter a relationship or a marriage with someone that's in fire or emergency services, and whoever wants to go?
I think for me, it would just be, Hannah hit it earlier, you have to be flexible. This is not I know a lot of times it is, same day, different stuff, or is that what it is? Is that the phrase? Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, I can't think. But I think you just have to be flexible. I know for the longest time, I used to get very, very frustrated when the overtime would pop up and he's like, well, I got to take it, because I didn't understand. I didn't understand at the time why he was taking it. So for me, it did kind of feel like he just doesn't want to be with us. Mm-hmm. He just wants to be at the station with the guys. Right. And it wasn't until, it was years ago he mentioned this, but he's like, I don't want to be there if I don't have to be. He's like, I would rather be at home with you and the girls. He's like, but because he has this mentality of he doesn't want to have other people, he just doesn't want other people to have to get overworked. I think sometimes he overworks himself.
Yeah, he'll take the blunt of it.
Mm-hmm. But it's who he is. It's his personality. And as frustrated as I can be with it sometimes, I've just kind of accepted it. And you have to be flexible with the schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, there, it is what it is. You're going to get mandoed. You're going to have that person that just got sick the night before, or their kid got sick, and it's frustrating with a smaller station. Mm-hmm. But you just learn to accept it. You kind of gripe about it. Mm-hmm. But flexibility, I think, is not the biggest thing, but I think one of the bigger things. If you can just go into it with the mindset that you're not always going to know. You're not always going to know what the week is going to be, and just learn to adjust. I think that can just make your home life a little bit better. I know there was one day my mom made a comment when I was like, it was years ago. Like, he got stuck working overtime and it was a 72-hour shift. And she was like, but you knew this is the life. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I thought when he'd get off shift, he'd be able to come home. Like, that was kind of what was sold to me when we started. But as long as you're flexible and you just kind of learn to go with the flow.
Yeah. I think after years, you do eventually learn, and, you know, you learn the flow of things, you learn, mm-hmm. you got to deal with everything. And like my husband, you know, he does want to be home too. He wants to be with his family, but yet he also wants to be a good firefighter. Mm-hmm. He does. I like what you said earlier about good firefighters want to do more training and mm-hmm. everything. And he does want to do that. And, you know, he wants to be the best at what he is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and when he's home, he tries to be the best dad too, and husband. And could he be better? Yes. But
just a balance.
It is. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've just learned to accept it all and do things. I do things my way when mm-hmm. I'm home and with the kids, and it is what it is. And
yeah.
All right. Okay. Hannah?
I think flexibility and always remembering you're on the same team. Mm-hmm. You have the same goal. It just, you guys have different positions that you play, and you know, his position is completely different than yours, and it's going to take him away from the home, but he's got the same goal as you do, is to provide for your family. And, you know, I try and remember his heart in it all, and his heart isn't to be away from us. It's to help other people. And, you know, usually if I can remember that, it'll bring me back down to my place of sanity. And, yeah, I think just remembering you're on the same team and trying to look at certain situations that can become frustrating that are part of the job, that, you know, what's their heart in it. And they're not out to frustrate me. They're doing it because it's just part of the job. And, yeah.
And I would say communication, which is for any relationship, would just be communication. So if I have to work extra or are going to be late or what was on the call, like just figure out how much you want to communicate and how you're going to communicate.
No.
And I was going to say, to go along with that, Kim, with communication is like, learn that you just can't talk about certain, you can't talk about certain things at work. Like when they are on duty, you just have to wait until you have that face-to-face conversation. And there's times he'll try to start texting. I'm like, nope, not going to talk about it right now. Wait till you're home. And I do the same thing. Like I will send him a text and he'll just be like,
oh, yeah.
Where is this coming from? And I'm like, okay, just wait till we're home then. So, yeah. Yeah. That's always fun. But yeah, there are just certain conversations that have to wait.
Yeah.
And because it's not fair if you get mad and he's still at work for another, you know, 24, 48 hours, yes. And you're sitting here frustrated, like, oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, that's solid advice. That's why I wanted all of you to hit it, because it's not easy with any job, but especially to me, jobs like this where you're gone for 24, 48, sometimes 72 hours, like that is not normal. Most individuals go to work 8 to 5, they're home by in the evening time, wrapping up, you know, going over what they did with their day. So I think it's very important that communication, flexibility, those answers, you know, those are not the answers, but those are the key components that make a marriage work. Cause I mean, it's very difficult. I mean, firefighters, I don't know what it is now, but at one point it was one of the highest divorce rates of an occupation. Now I think it's gotten better with communication and different departments realizing, hey, we need to get that work-life balance, right? But we still have departments like, you know, the smaller agencies, one station, less than 10 personnel on shift. That's very hard for people to take off, for wanting to take off, and then things happen, kids get sick. So I totally get it, where that with Hannah, she doesn't really have to deal with that, because if something happens, her husband can go, hey, Cap, Chief, whatever, not coming in today. And they're like, okay, well, had no problem filming it, you know, whereas smaller agencies, it's hard. So I appreciate all of you coming on, different perspectives. Kim, you set this whole up, Kim Smith.
You set it up. No, you
well, didn't. I had the little notion, but you had the key components with Courtney and Hannah, and we got it all together, schedules. I appreciate you all, especially, you know, you guys have kids and lives, and it is a weekend. So thank you for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it.
It was nice to finally meet you, like via Zoom.
But yeah. Hey, technology, we're still meeting each other. Yeah, yeah.
And now we know your wife. So yay, nice to meet you.
Yeah, she's like low-key behind the scenes. So, I mean, she's the one that got me set up on all this, like for my podcast and everything. The Zoom, I didn't know any of that. She schooled me on Zoom and getting a Zoom account and the calendar app for the scheduling. So I always give credit. She is the boss. Like, I am not afraid to tell people at work, like, I have to ask the boss if I can do this. I'm not one of those macho firemen that talk a lot of big game, but secretly are like asking for forgiveness. No, she is... She is the boss. So
we're a team.
I appreciate you all doing this. I really do.
Aw, well, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.